There are annoying and rather tacky telemarketing ads which include the phrase, "Wait, but there's something more." What I'd hope to do this morning is to retain the principle but take out the tackiness of that "wait, there's something more." And I think I can illustrate in an introductory way different things in our lives that have that sense. One would be if you simply put a hand over one eye and walked around for a while without the benefit of depth perception, removing the hand, it's "wait, there's something more," and suddenly you see the world quite differently. If one were to track the history of filmmaking and think of the way that it has become richer and richer in perception as it moved from silent movies to black and white to color movies and then to Omnimax and 3D and virtual reality and all of those experiences where we're able to see and there is in fact something more. The final example we just heard. I don't know if you caught yourself leaning the way I did as the women began in unison, and then came the harmony. And the men then sang in unison, and then came the richness of the harmony. It's as if there's always something more, and certainly this is the case as we heard a dramatic portrayal spoken in the pronouncement of John, the difference between John and Jesus. John is less powerful, Jesus is more powerful. John describes himself as less worthy, and Jesus is more worthy. John is not worthy to even untie sandals, Jesus is the one who wears sandals. And finally, John baptizes with water, and Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit. In every way, what is to come transcends what is. And I ask you to hear those two verses again, and this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This is the Advent message of something more that we will consider this morning. Shall we pray? Lord God, the one that leads us on journeys and shows us paths where none are to be seen, we ask that our hearts will be open and that our eyes will see that which you have for us. In these words of Scripture, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ever since John spoke those words, there has been this kind of a dynamic tension in the Christian story, not just the Christmas story, but in the Christian story. We live within that tension. Namely, there is this, and there is more to come. Water baptism, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Something good, but something which is more than just good. And that's movement. The tension is something that can draw us, but doesn't necessarily do it. It applies to individuals, and it applies to congregations as well. Last Sunday, I spoke of this active phrase, "Let it be unto me," saying that isn't just passivity and helplessness, but it is giving assent. This is what I desire. And so if we were to paraphrase this, let us think about this prayer. Lord, I pray that the possibilities, all the possibilities of truly abundant life promised in the Gospels might be mine. Lord, I want that which Jesus promised and held out before us to be mine. Really? Allow me to challenge us for a few moments to take this question in a way which is both serious and honest, because being all in does have momentous implications. This means we accept a particular call, that we will lose our lives in order to save them. Thus we ask seriously, honestly, do we accept and pray for and live into John's statement that the one who is to come carries the promise of yet another level of life? I want to give you just a couple of quick examples that might help us think by using the familiar phrase comfort zone. Thinking about ways that we sometimes tend to sort of split the difference. We think we can have our cake and eat it too. We can stay within our comfort zone even as we in our mind live outside of that. So maybe it's like skydiving. It looks like fun. And I can read about it, I can watch it, but you're not going to catch me jumping out of a plane. Or an adventure up the Amazon. Sure, I'd love to have that as long as it consists of me sitting in front of my TV watching a documentary. But me actually sleeping in a hammock with bugs and snakes and other things that bite? No, not so much. So the answer to this is yes and no. Yes, I think that's great, but no, I'm not going to personally do it myself because I need to stay within my comfort zone. And I do think that it is possible in the Christian life to, perhaps unthinkingly, split the difference. Here's how I would characterize that. I want the baptism of John. He said, repent, go into the Jordan, be baptized, be forgiven, and then I want to go home. In a way, that's what happened in that story. Come out, receive the benefit, and then go home. I want to experience significant benefit from being a Christian. But at the same time, let's be clear, I'd like to keep a measure of control and management of my life. I'll go so far and no further. So I definitely don't want to risk, what? Being known as a Jesus freak? No. Or be expected to verbally witness about Jesus to my neighbors? Oh, that's not me. I hope I'm not called to be a missionary because I'm not doing that. I don't want to reduce my lifestyle so that I could give more or trade my hobbies and fun activities so that I'd have more time for service. I would definitely draw the line at speaking in tongues. That's not going to happen to me. And so forth and so on. I'm not prepared to trade in my current schedule for one that would include a Bible study or a small group. So it's as if I'm all in, but with limits. And that's an oxymoron, right? I'm partially all in. But John is pretty clear. He addresses those who have taken one big step, those who came out to the desert to be baptized by him, and he says quite clearly, now, there is something more. There is a deeper and greater reality to which one can and should respond, let it be unto me, and that is the baptism of Jesus. That which is mysterious and maybe scary and has different manifestations, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This morning, I'm not going to try to come to a logical point of resolving the tension of this text. Come deeper. Come closer. There's more. That we'll simply live with. But I also want to say it is not my goal, and I don't think it would be a good outcome, to simply leave us with guilt. Once again, what I'm hearing is, I'm not doing enough, I should be doing more, no matter what I do, it's never enough. That isn't a fruitful stance to take as well. I don't think that's where God would have us be. So what I would like to do, in just the few minutes remaining, is to hear and ponder and pray about two perspectives that, to some extent, stand in tension and yet are, I think, the power of the gospel. As we think about, leave this building with John's challenge in hand, of follow Jesus in a way that there is something more. I just want to share these perspectives with you. The one perspective is that God loves us. And there are promises made in Scripture that reveal God's heart. God is not sadistic, loading on us impossible burdens, wanting us to regularly be crushed by the idea that I'm not doing enough. God's goal is not to condemn us to a water torture of dripping guilt. Instead, Jesus says, I have come that you might have life. And so I want us to think about this imagination that Jesus had of what there is that is something more. He said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, all you who are burdened down, and you'll find rest. You'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. For God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, and God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. And finally, this promise, for lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. What awaits us, what is something more, is something that is life-giving. Not something to be dreaded or avoided or make us live the rest of our life in a way that is so profoundly uncomfortable that we are happy. But this is the second perspective. It behooves us to perhaps rethink what is in fact abundant life. Surely we should have an answer. If somebody says, you follow Jesus, what does that mean when you think you're given abundant life? We also have in Scripture descriptions of what this is about. And I would say that it falls more in the category of adventure than it does of pampering. Most assuredly, Jesus does not idealize the passivity of what we today would call a couch potato kind of life. That is one formula which is being marketed. The more leisure one has, the easier the things are, the better life is. The more that you can spoil yourself, the closer you are to a good life. And that is not what Jesus promises or idealizes. The goal is not to maximize leisure. Instead, we find the challenges abound on the path to life. And an analogy came, at least to my mind, immediately. Being physically fit is so much more gratifying than being profoundly out of shape. But the only path to such a condition is via challenge. Pushing oneself. No one ever pampered themselves into fitness. Now, to cast one's lot in with Jesus, to be all in, to say there is something more, opens oneself to challenges, no doubt. And I realize there's something in us that wants to avoid challenge, yet here it is. So I want to talk about the other scriptural perspective. We are promised an abundant life which is good, which is doable. But there is this as well by way of challenge on the way to the wholeness of being fit. Here's what we can expect at times. Misunderstanding, maybe especially in our hometown. Jesus said no prophet has honor in his hometown. Opposition. Leaving our mother and father, our traditional security arrangements. Jesus spoke about that. He was mocked. Here's an interesting one. We're asked to love our enemy. Please, Lord, let me at least hold on to strongly disliking my enemy. No? And in multiple ways, we are to give up our time-tested and cherished habits and practices. And so you see the Christians as a group encountering things like, what? The Gentiles are in? Yes, they are. Are you kidding me? No, I'm not kidding you. Things that you always thought were true. There is something more, something in God's imagination that if you will trust and follow that, you will see a wholeness to this creation beyond that narrow version that you had clung to so tightly. And finally, and this needs to be said, there is the cross. Take up your cross and follow me to life. To life. Well, the world doesn't understand this. How can this be? Where's the path? Where is God making level paths so that we can walk? And I don't always understand this. But being infused with the Holy Spirit, and please bear in mind that every one of us, including myself, sees only as in a glass darkly. I don't see this perfectly. I don't experience this perfectly. For me, there is also always something more. But what our scripture tells us is being infused with the Holy Spirit takes us to another level. And Jesus promises us not an easy or soft life, but a real life, a real life. With meaning and robustness and peace which passes understanding. And that's the image that Paul used. It's always motion, running the good race. Promising that nothing along the way will separate us from the love of God. He said, as you move in that direction, as there is something more on this life of faith and hope and love, there is eternity. Joe Culpepper and Joe Warfel, wisdom and wonder, they nailed it. God is in the construction business, the road construction business. And as we hold these perspectives, we do well to add in and to simply underscore this aspect of following Jesus. And that is the fact that throughout the Bible, the life of faith is always portrayed as a journey. Indeed, at one point, Paul talks about how we are being saved. And I think in this we can find relief from constant guilt. There was not one person in the Bible other than Jesus that had a journey of faith which was on a steady, straight line that did not need always something more. We read the Bible and there are detours, there are wrong turns and route. At times people get bogged down in self-centeredness. And at times there are those who say, I'm all in partially. It overtakes them and we see how they get stuck. There are those times, probably always to some extent, that we say, yes, Jesus, but no. And that's our reality. But then comes that thread of grace. Jesus walks with his disciples who don't get it, and then he walks with them some more, and they kind of get it. Walks with them some more, and they do some backsliding, and he continues to walk with them and says, lo, I am with you always. And that is exactly why, again and again, in this case, again at Advent, we listen to Jesus. And the call is exactly the same for wherever you are at on your journey. And it's really pretty simple. There is something more. Follow me. It's great that you've taken the step of water baptism. It's great that you've taken whatever steps you've taken. And now there is one who calls us to more obedience and more abundance and more life. You know the Chronicles of Narnia? C.S. Lewis, The Last Battle. Finally, the children are, in fact, killed in a train accident, and you have this amazing portrayal of what it will be like then after death. And they arrive at this beautiful land, and then they are called to go further up and further in, and then they arrive at this beautiful land. And then the call is, and further up and further in. And it is where it is deeper and more colored and more textured and more breathtaking. And then the call is further up and further in. What do we see partially? Two people that came to mind. Here's Moses at the Jordan, who has journeyed. And now he's at the end of his life. It had detours, missteps, faithfulness. Go to the land I will show you. And in this world, he only did as Paul did. He only saw partially, and yet he departed in faith. And comes the New Testament and the cross and the resurrection, further up and further in. So it's a beautiful call, a challenging one. We haven't arrived personally, we haven't arrived as a congregation. But what we are promised is not freedom from challenge, but abundant life. There is always something more. Amen.